Philippians chapter 4, starting from verse 10. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yet, it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice, acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit.
May, thank you. And hello, I'm Kev. I'm the senior minister of Euston Church. Really great that you're able to join us this Sunday afternoon. This is Alex Manlow. Alex and Sarah are mission partners. They run the entire Christian Union movement in Belgium, which is not as glamorous as it sounds, partly because the evangelical Christian witness in Belgium is very small. They had their annual student conference just yesterday. Alex was in touch to tell me about it. They had 200 students there, which is amazing because that conference started as a tiny thing 10 years ago. 200 there yesterday, undergraduates, thinking about how to use their time at uni as missionaries for Jesus. It's been a joy to see the Manlows plug away at that ministry and see it grow, to see your ministry there grow. Because Euston Church gives to the Manlows from our central funds, you have a ministry in the universities of Belgium as you partner with Alex and Sarah in giving and receiving. Alkesh and Katie, there they are. Great to have you guys here. It's been such a blessing to us to have you among us these last few months. They shared recently about the church they're heading off to lead in East Asia. And none of us will be going over there to East Asia with them. I don't think that's the plan. I'm sure we'd be welcome if we wanted to come over and join you. You may never go there in your life. Still, we have a ministry over there right now if we're partnering with Alkesh and Katie in giving. Here's some of the Euston staff team outside chatting to students earlier this week. I thought on a Money Sunday, we'd better show you that we do actually do some work every now and then. It was amazing. You know, we just stood there for a very short time. I spoke to people from India, China, Belarus, Turkey, happy to stop and chat. Some of them came to the event on Tuesday evening. Our 5 p.m. service is a great gathering of the nations, really. Maybe you haven't been to the 5 p.m. for years. Maybe you've never spoken to a student at Euston Church. You should try it sometime. They're quite nice, mainly. But if you're involved financially, you were involved with student ministry here in this unique harvest field, in this unique spot, in this unique city, at this unique moment in world history where the young people of the nations have chosen to come to our doorstep. This is a one-off Sunday to discuss money and our financial giving. As Kelvin said, if you're visiting, we're not after your cash. I hope it's helpful, though, to taste our vision and to hear a reminder of the motivation for Christian giving. If you've ever tried to avoid eye contact with one of those charity collectors, you'll know that being asked for money can generate feelings of guilt, embarrassment. I don't think it should be awkward, though, because God is not awkward about it in his word. Stewarding money well is an exciting part of Christian ministry and the normal life of discipleship. So Jesus in Luke 12 on investing in treasure in heaven, Paul in 1 Corinthians and 1 Timothy on not muzzling the ox. In other words, feed the beast for its labor. In other words, pay the people who teach you the Bible. It's a very flattering comparison for those of us old farm animals in paid ministry. We're focused on this passage because it puts giving most clearly in the context of Christian partnership. Later this year, we'll be celebrating 15 years of Euston Church. One of the practical ways God has accomplished his work here is by laying it on hearts to dig deep and partner financially. Thank the Lord for a church family who are passionately committed investors in the mission of Jesus and his church. Notice there, we're using language of investment and partnership because what we're talking about today is very different from donating to charity. It's much more like being stakeholders in a business. I guess a few of us, probably not that many, are into or even warm to the language of business. My dad was in business. He invited my brother to join his business, which was very nice. They worked together. My dad never asked me to join his business. Probably wise of him. It's clearly much more than business as we reflect on the Lord's work. Helpful of Paul to use that concept, though, because as soon as you think investment and partnership, you're much more clearly focused on questions like, is this thing worth investing in? What's the return on my investment going to be? And could I get a better return on my money in some other venture than God's church? Philippians is a letter from Paul to a much-loved 10-year-old church plant in the city of Philippi. To live is Christ, to die is gain, is the memorable phrase from Philippians. And this final chunk of the letter is one more rubbing in of the to live is Christ, to die is gain mindset in practice. You know, your mindset about your money is an excellent litmus test of what you think to live is and what to die is. You can see that from where God's word to us begins. Point one is about contentment more generally. So verse 10, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. Philippians is partly a thank you letter. A thank you letter with a twist. Verse 11, not that I am speaking of being in need. Thanks for the gift. I didn't need it. Bit ungrateful. Thank you letter etiquette 101 says, when you write, your present was just what I needed, auntie, is the thing that you say, whether it was or not. And Paul's not being rude. He's trying to inspire. Verse 11, I've learned whatever situation I'm in to be content. Contentment, that elusive thing. You know, the economists have tracked this. As life gets better, we anxiously expect better and compare ourselves more rather than becoming more content with our lot. Social media has only added to the discontent as I envy other people's seemingly more perfect lives. We live in a world of permanent upgrades to our iPhone 14, 15, 16. They announced this week 17 is on the way. The camera's going to be better, apparently. How much better can a phone camera get? Well, that battle for contentment, you know, it's not a modern one. There's a book by one of the church Puritans called The Rare Jewel of Christian Contentment. I like that because contentment feels like a rare jewel. Paul says, verse 12, I know how to be brought low and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. He says he's learned the secret. Sounds like clickbait, doesn't it? Click here for the secret to contentment, only to discover on the next screen, sign up for my 10-week course for a mere $980 and learn the secret. What's the secret? Verse 13 is the secret. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Great verse. Makes for an enjoyable tattoo. Has the ring of a prosperity preacher strapline or a school motto with a nod to God. You can be whatever you want to be, children, with his help. Now, this verse is not about how to turn your circumstances into triumph. The point is, whatever his circumstances, he's content because he knows God will strengthen him to do the things that God wants him to do. It's not actually a secret at all if you read back in the letter. Paul in prison, content because the gospel's still advancing. Uncertain future, content because he knows God's going to deliver him into some kind of fruitful labor for Christ. Potential death, content because that would mean an even better kind of deliverance to be with the Jesus he loves. You know, contented people don't need to be anxious about taking risks for the gospel and being bold, including with our money. Money's a real. Please don't hear me wanting to in any way sound flippant about that. And though, every circumstance your bank balance might be in, now or in the future, he will still be strengthening you to do the things he has planned for you to do. You see how on one level we're talking about one church's annual budget. It's really so much bigger. Have you begun to discover the rare jewel of Christian contentment? The more you have, the more you'll be able to throw yourself into the joy of gospel partnership, which is our second point. Here Paul uses the Philippians' own backstory to spur them on to more and more. Verse 14, yet it was kind of you to share, literally partner in, my trouble. Verse 15, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. It's the same word both times, partnership. When Paul set out from Macedonia, the Philippians didn't go with him in verse 15. Yet in a way they did. Because by partnering with Paul and giving and receiving, they were tangibly teaming up as he pushed the gospel forward in a new place. Verse 16, Paul planted a church in Thessalonica. The Philippians didn't plant a church in Thessalonica. Yet in a way they did. Because by partnering with Paul in giving and receiving, they were right there with him. So much so that Paul says in verse 14, his troubles had become their troubles. That's what it's like when you're partners. And Paul's excited. He's rejoicing greatly because this kind of gospel teamwork is exciting. You know, it's easy to be a bit clinical about our giving, a standing order filled in, a swipe at the giving station. In some churches, they encourage people to bring their offering down to the front and they encourage them to do a bit of a dance up the aisle as they come, because it's a celebration. I suggested this morning. Kelvin was surprisingly more up for it than I thought he was going to be. Anyway, meet Kelvin at the back for a bit of a bop at the giving station if you want to at the end. Rejoice greatly in Christian giving. Rejoice in your student ministry. Rejoice in your ministry in Belgium, Beijing. Rejoice, we pray, in our shared future ministry, resourcing gospel work to local children, their parents, supporting long-term families who'd love to stay here because of this unique harvest field. If my maths is right, I think another way of breaking this up, as Kelvin presented, would be, what about 100 of the partners giving an extra £10 a month? Or 100 of the partners giving a one-off gift of £100. Well, that would be another way of getting to that money shared across the partnership. Financial giving is only one aspect. Thank you for staying, for serving in a million ways. A few will be in exceptional situations where we can't contribute money. It's basic discipleship in the Bible, though, that our bank accounts become Christian when we do. Again, not like charity. With charity, you usually give what's left over, often spontaneously, and you don't particularly expect the RNLI to be in touch with you for ideas about how to run that lifeboat that you've just donated to. Partnership's about planned resourcing. It's not so much about covering a deficit, it's about thinking how much more could we set aside to grow this venture that we all believe in and are seeing the fruit of. Partnership is ownership. Thank you for your ownership in this ministry. And in a way, that means don't ask me what the plan is for Euston Church. It's your business. What's your plan? Our plan? When are we going to start financially resourcing the Mandarin ministry again? One for the partners to discuss. You know, over this 15 years, as I reflect back, I can say that we've grown as a church and I have grown as a minister when the partners have had their voice. My prayer is that more of us will become more involved financially because of what Paul says here, because every person who's in this ministry with their wallets is one more person partnered up saying to live is Christ. Let's invest our lives in his interests together. Investing in eternity, that's what this is about. Verse 17, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. Giving to gospel ministry isn't money down the toilet. It's more business language here of an investment reaping returns, a better return than shares in Amazon or Apple, because this investment produces more ministry, which leads to more people hearing about Jesus and standing firm in him for eternity. Notice it says it's to their credit. We're uncomfortable with us being credited or awarded. Surely it's all of God. Absolutely. We end on the glory of God because gospel giving is an answer to prayers for him to work. But there's just this danger that we make the glory of God or the sovereignty of God into this big blob that blurs everything else and demotivates us because he's going to do it all anyway. My life doesn't matter. Now, the way God has organized his universe is he works through people. Your life of righteousness really matters, which might feel scary, but isn't it brilliant? Your choices, including with your cash, have eternal consequences. What an opportunity to make a difference. I hope you want the detail of your life to make a difference. Partly it's about the people who'll be with Christ forever because we've invested money amongst them. That's the reward if you look back at 4 verse 1 as Paul calls these Philippians, his joy, his crown, his reward is them. And that reference to Caesar's house, right at the very end of the letter, why does he mention them? Well, maybe it's because in a sense, that new church in Caesar's house is the Philippians' joy and crown. They resourced that new work. We shouldn't pretend that giving is cheap or easy. The language of verse 18 is sacrifice. And let's be honest, there's a lot you could invest in right now with your money that would reap a more immediate financial return. What could be more joyful or fruitful in the end, though, than investing in eternal souls? Those 200 students at the conference in Belgium yesterday, the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds who've been through midweek over these 15 years. You know, just every now and then I'll get a letter from a student as they leave saying, you know, how much they've grown at Euston Church, or a parent of someone who's been here comes through London years later and says how much they appreciated the ministry that their child received here. Or I'll go on a visit to a church on the south coast of England and you discover that there's someone who was a student at Euston Church helping lead the young adults ministry there. Or a rare trip to Singapore a couple of years ago. It was amazing to catch up with old Eustoners saying, yeah, I'm just about to become an apprentice at this church, or we're leading a group at that church. And then all the apprentices that have been sent out for here to serve the church more widely. Not all in any way well done us, but it's so encouraging to reflect on the ways that God has used this partnership, and all the glory to him. We'll hear some more stories like that as this 15th anniversary approaches. People who've gone out from here and what they're up to now. I hope it will inspire us. I hope we'll give the glory to God. What could be a better or more worthwhile thing than the joy and crown of people in eternity? Because God was pleased to use our investment decisions. Your mindset about your finances is an excellent litmus test of what you think to live is and what to die is. Do you believe in eternity? Does your wallet believe in eternity? And don't let anxiety hold you back, because verse 19, my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. In other words, you can afford to be generous when you're from a rich family. There's Rupert Murdoch, international media mogul. He's worth $23 billion. I check that every now and then because I keep hoping that Kev Murdoch's going to find out he's related to Uncle Rupert Murdoch. Well, I don't need to worry about that, because I've already got a Father in heaven who is rich beyond imagining and who will meet all our needs according to his riches. And that means we can hold our stuff with a very loose hand. Give it away. Give yourself away. Recklessly. Except it's not recklessly, like it wasn't reckless for Jesus to give himself away in the eternal interest of others. You'll never outgive him. But as you walk the path of self-sacrifice like Jesus did, God is pleased, and the future he's promised is sure. To live really is Christ, and to die really will be gain. Imagine our whole church family waking up every day more and more convinced of that vision. It'd be amazing. It would fan out in so many different gifts and use of resources and opportunities as part of the partnership here. What is Euston Church anyway? We're a staff team of about 10 people. Are we 40 or 50 small group leaders? Or are we 300 or 400 fully invested partners in God's most precious, glorious, unfading gospel cause? Let's pray.
Father Lord, thank you for showing us the gospel-centric mindset of Paul in the book of Philippians. Help us see the overwhelming joy Paul had when the gospel is proclaimed and when Christians grow in their faith. Help us understand the reality that everything we have in this life, be it money, possessions, status, power, will be destroyed when Jesus returns. Help us see that the only thing that has eternal value is our salvation, our entrance into God's kingdom on the last day when Jesus returns. Everything else pales in comparison. Help us as a church live in a manner that reflects this reality, joyfully sacrificing for the advancement of the gospel, financially or otherwise. Help us be content with the resources you have given us, and give us wisdom to invest it in a way that is pleasing to you. Lord, we give thanks for your generous provision to Euston Church these past 15 years. We pray that the resources will support faithful teaching, and we pray that the teaching will bear fruit. Help the leadership team be accountable to God and the congregation in their spending of the church's resources. Help them manage the resources you have given us wisely as a faithful steward. Finally, Lord, as we look around and see all the wars and disasters happening, we pray that you will help us lament the brokenness of this world as a result of human sin. Comfort those who are grieving and hurting. Help our brothers and sisters affected to keep holding onto the gospel, trusting that Jesus will return and bring about a kingdom of perfect peace and justice. Help us, as we hear about these devastating events, be more fervent in pressing on until the final day when Jesus returns. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.